the great Kahan Abel Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. It's a beautiful, beautiful house here at the great house of Yahweh. It is truly, brethren, it's truly a great privilege, a high honor to speak before the greatest family there is on the face of the earth. If you have your books of Yahweh, turn over to the book of Yochanan, chapter 16. I've got some few things that I really want everyone to really pay close attention to here. The title of my message here, the message here this afternoon, is Yisroel Hawkins, Yahweh's Branch. This is the last great work of Yahweh. Yisroel Hawkins, Yahweh's Branch. This is the last great work of Yahweh. Notice here, in this prophetic word here, in Isaiah 45, verse 13, notice what it reads. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He will rebuild my city and let my captives go free. You do agree with that, right, brethren? It's another prophetic word here. Yahweh is calling his people to keep a feast. I really want everyone to pay close attention to the message that comes forth from the great house of Yahweh. I'm repeating the words of our beloved overseer. And I remember when we were going several years ago, as we were preparing for menorah, for Yahshua's memorial, and Pastor said, from beginning to end, it's going to be a great feast. From beginning to end, it's going to be a great feast. And I want to encourage everyone to pay close attention to every word that proceeds from the mouth of the teachers of righteousness here at the great house of Yahweh. In the book of Matthew 24 and verse 14, I want to read this, the prophecy of the great house of Yahweh here. The great house of Yahweh here in these last days is truly the pillar and ground of Yahweh's truth. And if at all possible, put down the word pillar in your notes, in the beginning of your notes, pillar. Because we'll be covering the word pillar here in the latter part of this message here. In Matthew 24, verse 14, notice the word of Yahweh. And this joyous message of the kingdom of Yahweh shall be preached in all the world from the great house of Yahweh at Abel by the witness Yisroel. For Yahweh will be with him. He will preach this message to all nations, and then the end will come. What is this end? It is the end of this rebellion. The end of this rebellious Nimrod system that has created this chaos, this disunity, pride, war, disunity, and lawlessness has captivated the minds of mankind. I do want to share with you, because Yahweh's last day's witness, Yisroel Hawkins, Yahweh's Branch, this is the last great work of Yahweh. He has truly been a blessing to all of us here in the great house of Yahweh. Would you not agree with that, brethren? Every family, men, women, and children, you are a living example of what this mighty priest, this faithful priest, have done for all of us here in the great house of Yahweh. Children live what they learn. Children are the product of one's environment. Our job here in the great house of Yahweh is to bring forth this everlasting message of the kingdom of Yahweh. In fact, Yahweh has entrusted this seventh messenger, the mighty trumpeter, with this everlasting message of everlasting righteousness and peace. No one else is given that, the scepter of righteousness, except, as the great prophet Daniel said, I saw one single messenger standing in the light of the sun. How the work of one man has changed the lives of many. I want to share with everyone what this mighty priest have done for all of us. And I shared this not for personal notoriety, not for personal gain. Freely you have received, freely give. The knowledge of the truth, the great wisdom of Yahweh, don't ever hold it back, brethren. Whatever Yahweh bless you, freely you have received, freely give it to the people of Yahweh. Yisroel Hawkins, Yahweh's branch, is the face and glory of Yahweh to me. By a seed servant and son of Yisroel Hawkins. Before coming and moving near the great house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas, about a week before Passover 1989, I was a young 26-year-old man married with two beautiful children. I was born and raised as a Mormon in the state of Hawaii, seeking and searching for the knowledge of the truth. Finally, on February 11, 1989, a Sabbath day of rest in Honolulu, Hawaii, was where my family, others, and myself had the greatest privilege and honor to hear the voice of Yahweh. Yes, how wonderful and beautiful are the feet of the one who brings forth the everlasting message of Yahweh. Yes, my eyes have seen the messenger of Yahweh. Yisrael Hawkins came to Hawaii to hold a Sabbath meeting, and I was there to hear and learn about the Creator, the everlasting name of Yahweh, and the benefits and blessings of keeping the Sabbaths and Yahweh's feast days. What a glorious Sabbath it was for my family and me. I was baptized on this Sabbath day in the Pacific Ocean by Yisrael Hawkins and another priest. Till this very day, my life has effectively changed from a selfish, reckless, ruthless, and lawless person to a man who has come to love the laws of Yahweh, His work, His people, and the one whom He has sent in these last days. From day one till now, Yisrael Hawkins has made an everlasting difference and impression upon me and my family through his teachings. I am so grateful and thankful for everything he has taught me. I would highly recommend and endorse the great priest of Yahweh, Yisrael Hawkins, to be your teacher of righteousness as well. You won't regret it. The mighty and faithful priest of Yahweh, the great Kohan Yisrael Hawkins, is my spiritual father, my inspirational teacher, my guiding counselor, my lawgiver, and my authorized messenger of the prophecies of Yahweh. Today, I am truly and extremely blessed to be a part of the great house of Yahweh, the everlasting work of Yahweh that produces everlasting results. I am what I am today because of the faithful teachings and the detailed explanations of the laws and prophecies of Yahweh taught to me for the last 25 years. I praise and thank great Father Yahweh for sending his seventh Moloch, the mighty trumpeter, every day. He is the gift of Yahweh that keeps on giving. Of all the unlimited blessings given to me, I've learned so much in great abundance, the overflowing of righteousness and peace, the everlasting love of Yahweh that holds everything together. I can truly say with all sincerity of heart that I love that man, Yisrael Hawkins. I have the highest respect and regard for him. Blessed is he who comes in the name and authority of Yahweh. Notice closely and consider carefully what I've been taught by him. The great house of Yahweh is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. It is the greatest honor in the world to be called by the greatest being in the world. I've only asked for Yahweh's righteousness and to be called by his name. If you will honor the Sabbath and call the Sabbath a delight, then you will find your joy and strength in serving Yahweh and your brothers on the Sabbath. The scriptures teach from the beginning to end that these laws will lead a person to perfection if he will listen to them, if he will learn them, and put them to use in his everyday life. Yahweh is with me. I am with Yahweh. Don't be deceived. Only believe all that the prophets have spoken. When you teach someone not to sin, you stop sinning yourself. You've got to watch for sin. Get it immediately. Stop it. Nip it in the bud. A man's true character is measured by his obedience to the laws of Yahweh. The power of love accomplishes all things. Let Yahweh work with you, and let his spirit grow in you. Your strength and power comes from knowing this book of Yahweh. Self-control is learning to control the way you think about yourself and others. Don't give respect to get respect. Give respect because it's the right thing to do. Together, we can achieve peace. A lawkeeper is fully in tune and in unity with Yahweh in every way. Going on to perfection and the reverence of Yahweh is what we must do. From beginning to end, it's going to be a great feast. Finally, I've been trained, brought up, educated, and taught thoroughly by Yisro Hawkins. Yahweh's 13 attributes, the beauty of the standard of perfection, the salvation of Yahweh, the plan of Yahweh, the prophecies of the two witnesses, keeping our eternal appointments with Yahweh, and how to complete the course by developing the righteous and perfect character of Yahweh, being made in His image and likeness. I praise and glorify Yahweh for calling me out of this sin-sick, confused, and wicked world of war, hatred, and retaliation, and for bringing me into His marvelous light, the chosen prophesied established house of Yahweh, led by the greatest teacher in the world, the one sent, Yisro Hawkins. May the everlasting peace, joy, and love of Yahweh bless you inwardly and outwardly. I am a seed, a servant, and a son of the seven Malach, Yahweh's last day's witness, the great Kohan Yisro Hawkins. I've spoken with many of you, my beloved brethren. All of you have been extremely blessed. I've heard many of your testimonies, and I've heard the way how you've been growing and growing. As Pastor said, remember, brethren, the house of Yahweh is like this olive tree. It's like this mustard seed. As it grows, it receives its power. The more it grows, the more power it receives. But if you have your books of Yahweh, turn over to Yochanan chapter 16. I want to cover here concerning our righteous, faithful high priest, Yahshua Messiah. In Hebrews 7, verse 26, for such a high priest is fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. In Yochanan 16, and beginning with verse 20, and here is a prophecy of Yahshua as he was teaching his apostles. Remember his apostles, his disciples. Isaiah saw this in prophecy. In Isaiah 33, verse 7, it says, the ambassadors of peace will weep and lament. But he was referring to those prophecies in Isaiah, the ambassadors of peace. Here in verse 20, notice here the word of Yahweh. This is all part of the songs of joy. Songs of deliverance is being brought out here in the great house of Yahweh. Don't miss Yahshua's memorial, brethren. Don't miss the Passover. A sin not confessed is a sin not forgiven. The longer we go without repentance, the worse we will get. So please, the word of Yahweh continue. Immediately, the word of Yahweh came to us, came to the house of Yahweh. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing will come from the presence of Yahweh. Notice in verse 20, the words of our righteous and faithful high priest over the house of Yahweh, Yahshua Messiah. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And this is what was, if you notice the timeline and the time sequence, Yahshua was preparing his disciples because Yahshua knew that his own brothers would execute him, would put him to death. But he was preparing his disciples. They were known as the ambassadors of peace. They will weep and have a great sorrow because their teacher of righteousness will be taken away from them. You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Yes, the world rejoiced when Yahshua was put to death. And that's what Christianity has taught from the Roman Empire. Yahweh only deals with the great house of Yahweh. Yahweh only deals with those who keep Yahweh's laws. Yahweh does not deal with the Egyptians, nor does he deal with the Philistines, nor does he deal with the Roman Empire. None of them. You can put all the kings and queens and all the teachers of the world in one room. They cannot give you eternal life. None of them. Because they don't teach Yahweh's everlasting righteousness and peace. And you will be sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Circle that word joy, or highlight that word joy. You know, because it's a great joy. It's a great joy. It's very invigorating. When you get to the Jubilee in age and over, it becomes a great joy as an older man. You become much alert and vigilant and very careful in your ways. In verse 21, notice here. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of her joy that a man is born into the world. Notice that? It's a great joy, brethren, when children are brought forth in the great house of Yahweh, when they are trained and educated in the way of righteousness. The law of Yahweh commands the house of Yahweh that when they sit in the house, what house? The great house of Yahweh. Our children and our children's children must be taught continually when they sit in the house, when they walk on the road, when they lie down, and when they rise up, the great, beautiful, righteous laws of Yahweh. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of her joy that a man, a child, is born into the world. But notice in verse 22, and so for now you have sorrow. He's preparing his disciples. In fact, when Yahshua instructed his trusted disciples to go and to make ready the Passover, they were to remove all the leaven, all the imperfections and the impurities from their minds, their thoughts, their hearts, their innermost beings. But to go this internal fitness or this internal preparation. And so for now you have sorrow, but I will see you again. Yahshua, he reminded his disciples, I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice with a joy that no one can take from you. Your hearts will rejoice with a joy that no one can take from you. Yahshua is preparing his disciples. Yisrael Hawkins is preparing his seed. Preparing all of us. That your hearts will rejoice with a joy that no one can take from you. It's talking about the crown of joy. The crown of everlasting joy. The crown of life. The crown of everlasting peace. In that day you will ask me no more questions. Truly, truly I say to you, whatever you may ask. You remember ask. They used to speak long ago to receive an answer, ask at the great house of Yahweh at Abel, and they will give you the remedy, the recipe of peace to your problems. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you may ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Up to this time, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. Go down to verse 33. And this is where I really want to focus here on verse 33. And this is for all the saints of Yahweh here at the great house of Yahweh and spread throughout the earth. Always and forever, we will forever serve Yahweh in the great house of Yahweh. But here in Yochanan 16:33, notice the word of Yahweh once again. Yahshua speaking here. He's speaking here to, Pastor brought this out several years ago. And I really appreciate everything that he has taught us. He has enlightened all of us here in the great house of Yahweh. And he continues, this seventh messenger continues to enlighten the multitude of nations throughout the earth. But here in verse 33, notice the word of Yahweh once again. I have spoken these things to you, so that in me you might have peace. Peace. You remember what Yahshua said in Matthew 5 verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of Yahweh. What are the peacemakers? If you study that word, a peacemaker is one who restores peace, unity, and reconciliation between people and nations. That's why Yahweh has entrusted his seventh messenger to restore peace, unity, and reconciliation between the multitude of people and the multitude of nations. I have spoken these things to you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of great courage. I have overcome the world. I really want you to think about that for a moment. As long as we're in the house of Yahweh, brethren. Pastor said these words. Let me get my notes here. If I can overcome, you can overcome. If I can do it, you can do it. You agree with that, brethren? That's the teachings of our beloved overseer. You've always got to have notes, reminders. These little notes really helps every individual here in the great house of Yahweh. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I love what Pastor taught us many, many years ago. But he said these words, and I'll repeat the words of the seventh messenger here, the great trumpeter. He said, even if there was no rewards or blessings handed out, I will still keep Yahweh's laws. Does that make sense, men, women? Even if there was no rewards or blessings handed out, I will still keep Yahweh's laws. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, notice the word of Yahweh to the great house of Yahweh here at Abel, and to the Moloch, the messenger. You remember in Psalms 132, verse 9, may your priests, the anointed priests of Yahweh here at the great house of Yahweh, from the chosen righteous, beloved righteous branch and his seed, his priests, may they be clothed with righteousness, and may your saints shout for joy. And verse 7, and to the messenger and to the Moloch of the congregation of the great house of Yahweh here at Abel, right? These things says he who is holy. Holy. Remember in Romans 7, verse 12, therefore the law is holy, the commandments are holy and just and righteous. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man's open. The knowledge of the truth is the keys of David, the great wisdom of Yahweh. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Go to verse 10 here. Because you have kept the word of my patience. Blessed is he who keeps the word of Yahweh, the law of Yahweh, and have the testimonies of Yahshua Messiah. I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Remember Revelations 22, 12 to 14. Hold fast that which you have, that no one take your crown. He who overcomes. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the house of Yahweh. My beloved brethren, he who overcomes. What are we overcoming here in the great house of Yahweh? I want you to start seeing this as you go throughout the day, reminding yourself. Say yes to Yahweh, say no to sin. Say yes to Yahweh, say no to sin. You've got to crush it. You've got to crush sin. Too many times we're playing around with sin. And I'm begging Yahweh's people and all over the world. Sin is what is causing this misery, chaos, problems in the world. We've got to crush it. Say yes to Yahweh, say no to sin. Sin no more. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the house of my Father, and he will never go out of it, and I will write upon him the name of my Father and the name of the new Jerusalem. You notice that? He who overcomes, who crushes sin, pulverizes sin. Let me quote this from the future priest. I learned this from one of the future priests. Push away the negative and welcome the positive. Remember the future priest once saying that? A six-year-old future priest told me this. He shared with me. And I said, thank you very much for teaching me. But he said, push away Satan and welcome the wisdom of Yahweh. Out of the mouth of a six-year-old child, sometimes we need to pay close attention. We need to love our children. Love them. Care for them. Teach them. Guide them. Nurture them in the way of righteousness. He who has an ear, he who has understanding. The Peaceful Solution teaches listening is a skill that those who are wise will practice, develop, and nurture. Someone who is wise is quicker to listen than to speak. The Peaceful Solution, page 48 of the Acceptance Unit book. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the great house of Yahweh. I want to share with everyone here about this pillar here. It will take a lifetime of work. How did the priests of Yahweh come up with these the 22 positive traits of a pillar. I don't know if you can, I don't know. You all can see that. The 22 positive traits of a pillar. Notice the very first one, because this is part of a pillar. When you first call to the great house of Yahweh, always remember a pillar. I see many pillars in the great house of Yahweh. Those vertical columns are vertical pillars. But I see brothers and sisters, men, women, and children who are developing to become pillars. But a pillar will forever be attached to the foundation. Without the laws of Yahweh, there is no foundation. The law by itself, the peaceful solution by itself, will not work in a person's life. The scriptures teach from beginning to end that these laws will lead a person to perfection if he will listen to them, if he will learn them, and put them to use in his everyday life. But these 22 positive traits of a pillar, I would that we have more time, because it will take a lifetime of work to really gather it. I want to just go over it briefly. The 22 positive traits of a pillar is steadfast, immovable, faithful, supportive, firm, obedient, loyal, persistent, honest, watchful, determined, disciplined, commitment, willingness, trustworthy, humble, submissive, teachable, virtuous, righteous, peaceful, and notice the very last one, quiet. Keep your foot, watch your step when you go to the great house of Yahweh. And do not offer the sacrifice of a fool, brethren. Set a guard over our mouths, O Yahweh, keep watch over the doors of our lips. Psalms 141, verse 3. But I just wanted to share with the men of Yahweh, the women of Yahweh, the beautiful, the daughters of Yahweh, the men of Yahweh, you're doing a superb job. But we've got to crush sin. When I say crush it, we've got to crush it. You understand? Does everyone understand that? Crush it. Don't tolerate sin, because the buck stops here at the great house of Yahweh. We've got to guard the house of Yahweh. Keep watch, keep guard over the great house of Yahweh. Brethren, I can go on and on concerning these 22 pillars, these 22 positive character traits of a pillar. I see the future priest here. He's over here jumping up and ready to get after it. That's one thing about the great house of Yahweh. We tell it like it is, like it was, and like it will be. You agree with that, brethren? I just want to show this right here. Revelation 22, verse 14, it says, blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. One more, please. Lamentations. I've got to go to Lamentations. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. It's in my notes. If you look at the book of Lamentation, it rests between the shoulders of the great prophets Jeremiah and Yechezkiel. The book of Lamentations, page 623. I've got to read this, and I'll finish off here. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Yet one thing I will keep in mind, which will give me hope. Because of Yahweh's great mercy, we are not consumed. His compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Yahweh is my portion. I say, therefore, I hope in him. You remember what Pastor brought out years ago? Righteous and virtuous Rhea was so determined to do righteousness that Yahweh chose her to be a part of the lineage of Yahshua Messiah. Yahweh is my portion. I say, therefore, I hope in him. I have set Yahweh always before me. I have always set the word of Yahweh always before me, in front of me. Yahweh is righteous to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. You remember, this hope is our trust and belief and our love for Yahweh, for his work and for the one whom Yahweh has sent. In verse 26, it is right that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Yahweh. Quietly. Discipline, remember, discipline takes commitment, determination, and a willingness to always do
what is right.
May Yahweh bless your understanding, the family of Yahweh. Would everyone please stand? I have the great privilege and high honor to present to you my fellow worker and fellow future priest, the great deacon Tawakia Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Now, there's a lot of deception in this world, and as you heard, if we see sin, we need to stomp it out, because that cannot be allowed in the house of Yahweh. But there's a lot of deception in this world, so today I'm going to talk about why it's so important to come out from this world, to separate from this world. Because a lot of people, they know that you need to do this, but they don't know why you have to. And today I'm going to cover some of those things. Starting out in the prophetic word with pastor's writings, the March 2014 prophetic word, whereas Francis is giving a thumbs up to sin. You can turn over, if you have it, if you can look on page 11. It says, "Come out of her." And this is pulled out of a scripture, which is Revelation 18, verse 4. And it says on the third column, the far right-hand column, after Revelation 18, 1 through 8, it says, "The whole world, in one way or another, is following the priest who eats swine's flesh into nuclear destruction." So they're following the Catholic Church. They're following the way that brings death. Now, getting right into it, if you have your book of Yahweh, if you can turn over to Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 on page 982. It's Revelation 18, verse 4 on page 982. And it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake in her sins, and so that you do not receive of her plagues.'" So if we don't want to partake in her sins, if we don't want to receive these plagues, then we need to separate ourselves from this world. The word partake means to share company with. So if we're at all sharing company with this world, whether it be through family members that are in this world, or worldly music even, then we will receive of these things if we don't repent. We need to get out of this world, because it's going down through the nuclear destruction, as it said in the prophetic word. So they're following them, the people, into this, or they're following the Catholic Church into nuclear destruction. Now, these are the things, these plagues, if we don't come out of these things, these are the things that bring forth the diseases and death. And no one here wants death, do we? We don't want death. No, because there is no death in the house of Yahweh. There's rejoicing in the house of Yahweh. There's peace in the house of Yahweh. There is no death. And this is the only place where you can receive true life. So there is no death through the teachings of the world. And speaking of death, if you can turn over to Yekechiah 18, verse 4. 18 verse 4 on page 639, Yekechiah 18 verse 4, page 639, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine. Just as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine." But notice this, the soul that sins, it will die. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If we partake in this world and we sin, we will die if we don't repent. Remember, as one of the apostles said, it would be better for them not to have known the way than have been taught it and then go back and turn to those things that they were doing before. So we've been taught. We've all been taught by the greatest teacher in the world. So don't go back to that way, because it brings death. And also, we'll lose our spots in the kingdom of Yahweh. So if we're doing these things, we need to repent and get counseling for it. Back over to Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 through 8. Revelation 21, 7 through 8 on page 984 and 985. It says in verse 7, "He who overcomes will inherit all things." So do we want to be the people who inherit all these things if we overcome? Yes, we want to be these people. Okay, it says on the next page, "And I will be his father and he will be my son," the sons of Yahweh. And keep in mind that the whole world, all creation, is waiting on the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. So make sure you're there, and you are one of the sons of Yahweh, if we overcome and separate from this world. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and worshippers of God's Elohim and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look at side note A. It says, those who dread seeing the end come hide themselves. So if we fall into that category, we are right here, we are fearful. Also look at G1. They who fear man more than Yahweh. So if we fear man with the things that they can do, with the carnal, with the flesh, the things that they can do with the flesh, then we fall into this category. Look at side note B. The world says only believe. They are fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets and apostles have spoken. So we need to make sure that we believe without seeing, because we know that Yahweh is the only true one who can save us from this world. And then look at G2 for abominable. It says, they who mock and jest at the house of Yahweh. Well, who's doing that in these last days? The Catholic Church. They're mocking the house of Yahweh. They're trying, they have this counterfeit. They try to say they have this, the true way to life, but it's counterfeit. It's not the true way to life. Because if it was the true way to life, we wouldn't see all the death and misery and sorrow that we are seeing right now. Now, there's death in this world. And there's no death in the house of Yahweh, but there's death in this world. Why? Because of the Catholic Church is teaching this way. Along with all these other things, these things that try to pull us out from the house of Yahweh, there's also deception coming very strongly from the Catholic Church. And I have an article on it's from Time.com, and this is about the Pope Francis, the Time Magazine Person of the Year, and it says the People's Pope. It says, as Cardinal and Archbishop of Buenos Aires, which is in Argentina, a metropolis of some 13.5 million souls, George Mario Bergoglio made room in his schedule every year for a pastoral visit to this place of squalor and sorrow. He would walk through the subway station nearest to the Metropolitan Cathedral, whose pillars are done and dome fit easily into the center of Argentine power. So 13.5 million souls. And if they don't repent, they'll be right there in the second death. Okay, later on in the article it says, the papacy is mysterious and magical. And keep in mind, whenever you read these articles about the Catholic Church, they put these big words to try to make the thing sound pretty and righteous and things like this. But if you go and look them up, you see that they aren't. It says, it turns a Septuagint, which is a person that is 70 to 79 years old, into a superstar. Well, superstar, where do we see that? In the painting on the Catholic Church wall. While revealing almost nothing about the man himself, and it raises hopes in every corner of the world. Hopes that can never be fulfilled, for they are irreconcilable. Okay? They hope for peace, but they aren't going to get it through the Catholic Church. So, brethren, separate from this world, because we do not want death. Okay? Because you want life. That's why you're here at the house of Yahweh. So, with that, and also keep in mind that the only way you can completely separate from this world is coming to the classes. So, make sure you're here for every class that you possibly can be. And if you're not here, then you can get it over the internet. And with that, if you all please stand, I have the great honor and privilege to present to you the great Khan Ilya Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Everyone may be seated. We're going to continue along with the news that we've seen last week, where scientists are now seeing that the oceans, they're claiming that the oceans are becoming acidic due to carbon monoxide, and that, of course, we know they're going in the right direction with seeing a problem in the water, so they're getting closer. So some of the things we have for you today is a look at how this drought is taking place, and the droughts are taking place not just in one location now, but globally, the drought is affecting the entire earth. We're going to have an article about one city in the United States. Fireball California, which actually is responsible for a third of the growth of fruit and vegetables for the United States. And we're going to see just where the farmers are getting their food from. Now, these are people who grow food, but pay attention to see where they're getting their food from. Now, keep in mind, if the oceans were becoming acidic and the water was being damaged by this acidity, think about the rain. How does the rain take place? The rain does not evaporate here in Abilene, Texas, and then fall straight back down. Well, of course, the rain travels across the United States. A lot of the moisture comes from the ocean, and it's dispersed as it comes through the jet stream or the air winds, and it's distributed across the United States, and every country works that way. So we called the local water company here in the city of Abilene, and we asked them if our water was acidic. And they said, absolutely not. Our water is not acidic. Our water, the HP levels measure at 8.5, and to be acidic, it would be 7.0. They went on to tell us that Abilene gets their water from three different reservoirs. The first one's Fort Phantom, the second one is Hubbard, and the third one is O.H. Ivy. The one interesting thing they did point out, though we don't have acidity in our water, O.H. Ivy is at 10% capacity, so we're having drought. We're having drought. So at this time, and also pay attention, we're going to show you Obama going to Fort Hood for a second time. So if we could go ahead and play the news, please. At this time, if everyone will please stand, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Hawkins.
Wow. We got here early, didn't we? Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. That's all for you, Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. What a wonderful, wonderful crowd. A wonderful day. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. They started my day at 6 o'clock this morning when I picked up the Sabbath bread with law number 20. Build the house. Build the holy house of Yahweh. Exodus 25, 8 through 9. And this is the second one they sent me, just to make sure. every household must appear before Yahweh and rejoice at the feast. Deuteronomy 16, 16, and 14, rejoice with an attitude of servitude. The more you serve, the more you rejoice. And that's a fact. Now the news, of course, that's only a drop in the bucket of the news that shows what the Catholic Church has brought on this world through the rebellious sons of Korah, who became the Herodians, by the way, and then the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, which Yahweh also names the tribes that they sprang from. But they weren't foreign people. They were 12 of the 12 tribes. But now you're experiencing the curses. And I tried to warn the Catholic Church of this, that, you know, these curses were coming. They were coming upon you big time. And now they're here, and you're getting shaky. You're losing all your pigs. Yeah. You see that? U.S. pig viruses, U.S. pig virus cases see biggest weekly rise since PEDV was found. That's porcelain epidemic diarrhea virus. Now, they're saying this has nothing to do with the ones that we're suffering although the symptoms are the same, diarrhea and extreme vomiting. The symptoms are the same, but they have nothing to do with each other. Well, they're losing their pigs. And of course, I want you to keep in mind now the plagues that we warned the Catholic Church of. Been warning them for several years, but we came out strongly a few months back. Might have been years, the way the time is passing. Might have been years, I don't know. But it's since Francis has been in office. But we did also warn Benedict before he got placed under house arrest, so to speak. I understand they have a warrant for his arrest. It has something to do with fraud or something. But we warned the Catholic Church of these plagues that are coming, and we told them that they would be picking up greatly, and he's going to suffer greatly, he and his flock. And we told them to let my people go, take this deception off of them, tell them, repent, repent, truly repent, don't false it. You know, Yahweh knows better than that. He knows you're falsifying everything. You're not truly repenting. You got to repent of sin. Repent of sins, and then your sins will be blotted out if you convert to righteousness. Acts 3:19, just read that one. I'll send you 1,000 more scriptures to go with it if you'll just read that one and understand it. Well, these confirmed cases of a deadly pig virus spreading across the U.S. Spreading across the U.S. Spreading. Not just the U.S. either. This virus, diarrhea and vomiting and severe dehydration. Now, I know y'all, the ones that call me, that's exactly what you told me the symptoms were. It's transmitted orally and through pig feces. The feces kills 80 to 100% of the piglets. This does not affect human beings. The virus was confirmed in Canada last week. Deadly virus, continuous spread, no joyful pig picklings for farmers, a virus that has already killed more than 2 million piglets across North America, continues to spread across hog farms in 25 U.S. states. It infects the cells lining of the intestines. If you have that flu, you really need to get the microorganisms, the friendly ones, back in your body, because it takes a bunch of them. It almost rids your body of water, and you'll be thirsty for days and wondering how it got all that water out of there. But infects the cell linings of the intestines of the pigs. It does that to you too, and causes severe diarrhea and vomiting and dehydration. They're guessing about this. Now, they're saying this likely came from bats. They're probably the ones that flew over the mountain. You know, this is the nonsense they put out to you. It likely came from bats. Well, I can tell you the bats it came from, they were a little bit batty, and they were from the Roman Catholic Church, who teaches people to eat pork. And they're following the priest who eats swine. And now the priests are suffering, and they sit on the seven hills of Rome. That's what Revelation 17 shows. They are passed through contaminated gloves and boots and tires. They get on everything. Farm equipment If you go to town for anything, is everybody listening? Don't stop your ears up from me now. If you go to town for anything, you need to spray your shoes. You need to spray your face. You need maybe several times before you get back, like our shoppers have to do, and they do it, they practice it. And then before they leave the store, they spray the sacks that the stuff has come in, and they spray as much of that as they can. It's also sprayed again the time it gets here in hopes of trying to keep these deadly diseases in the world, to keep them down. I'll praise the day that Yahweh makes it possible for us to make all of our clothes, raise all of our food where it's handled with clean hands and it's uninfected by these viruses that are bat-made. Yes, you are a little bit batty when you get out here and suffer beastality with the beast. And that's exactly where it came from. I know what I'm speaking of, and if you had sense that Yahweh gave a jackass, you'd get at to studying these things that the house of Yahweh puts out, and you'd know it didn't come from bats at all. It came from you and pigs. And your sexual lust, and that's what the scripture also shows. No cost effects. No cost effects. Drugs are available to manage the viral infection. Real-time vaccination campaign is on the way. Basically, they're using either feces. When I was explaining to someone the other day the things we used when I was working in the State Board of Health Laboratories as a young man, and the things we used to get bugs that would fight bugs, and where we got them. Well, I'll read this to you. They said, really? Now listen closely. Basically, this is a basic setup. You know, it's been practiced for years to try to find a bug that will kill the bug that you created when you had sexual relations with a pig or a dog or whatever it is you're having. Now, that should be plain enough. It's not just children these people are raping. They have told the laws of Yahweh are done away with. Go out and experience. You girls need to go out and experience these boys. That's what came from the Pope's own mouth. That's how stupid this man is and how evil he is. Basically, they're using either feces from infected animals or grinding up intestines from newly infected sacrificed piglets and feeding it to the sows. Well, what do you think they're shooting in your veins? In your vessels. That's what the scripture calls it. Vessels. What do you think they're shooting in your vessels? Where do you think they got it? From your vegetables? They could probably get it from there too. It's everywhere. No, they get it from guts of people who die from it. Why do you think they buy body parts? It's so they can create drugs to sell to you. That's today's world, and no, they won't repent of it. That's what we're told in Revelations 9. Even after a third part of man is destroyed, over a fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates, they still won't repent of their worship of gods. Demons. And the scripture says that. Do you see any of them truly repenting? This falsehood that the Pope is saying, oh, he's asking for forgiveness from the children that were raped by priests. Shortly after they raped a pig. I get so aggravated when I see the sin and what it's causing, and the people, all the world, worshiping this system. Well, not so many of them is worshiping now. They're getting worried and they're getting upset, and they're going to try to force again the one world government and the unholy Roman Empire. And that's what's coming, and it's going to come very shortly now. The disease has spread across Europe, Korea, Japan, the Philippines, and China. PEDVs was particularly devastating to China in 2012, and of course again this year. USDA then confirmed the U.S. cases in Ohio in May of 2013. Now, here's what follows. Government, I don't know if we played this tape or not, but government stockpiles flu medicine, but does it work? Why are they stockpiling it? Don't you think that's a pretty great question to ask? Why are you stockpiling this flu vaccine? You're spending billions of dollars on it. Why? You got a purpose? You got something in mind that the people don't know about that's going to take place? A new study on Thursday suggests the U.S. government's billion-dollar stockpile of flu medicine may have little effect in the pandemic. The government, amazed enough flu medicine for 65 million people. And the risk can be high. The outbreak in 1918, I've read you that before, they used wagons in that time, pulled by horses and mules. In 1918, I was born in 1934. This took place just before that, and it weakened the Catholic Church. This was some of the plagues. This next plague in this generation is going to be worse, much worse. And the risk is high. The outbreak of 1918, for example, killed more than 600,000 Americans. Killed a lot more than that overseas. They brought their wagons once a day, drove through the street saying, "Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!" They piled them on the wagons and they took them to bury them with a double shovel pulled by horses. That's how they dug the pits to put them in. We got some of these double shovels. I'd like for everyone before the feast is over to see these. I think they're in a green tent down here at the south end of the campgrounds, in a green tent. There'll be a set time for men to look at this and all the other displays, but that's how they built bridges and dams and everything at that time, with horses and mules. That was before the knowledge was increased, and they were able then to build bigger machinery and bury more people faster. This is what they plan on doing again. Well, I would say from what Scripture shows that there's some plans to use this to depopulate the earth. I know your hearts are right, so you can't imagine such a thing taking place. But if you'd read about the cruelty of these people, first from your Bible, first from the Holy Scriptures, you read that for these last days. Genesis 49 is a great place to start. The first verse shows you when. It's for this last generation. and the cruelty that's going to take place in this generation. Yes, it's hard to believe. It's really hard to believe, but it is true. And if you read the history of what took place by these people, it's going to be worse this time. The drug deceased symptoms, decreased symptoms. The drug, the Tamiflu, decreased symptoms. This is what they stockpiled, billions of dollars. The drug decreased symptoms slightly. By 17 hours, only by 17 hours, last 7 days, but it decreased them slightly for 17 hours, from 7 days to 6.3 days. There was no compelling evidence it prevented pneumonia or reduced the risk of death. There's no good evidence that you will reduce the risk of hospitalization or other complications, and no evidence that it reduces the spread of influenza between people. Doesn't reduce it. In fact, there are studies that show that it actually gives a person who takes the drug the power to give it to others for 3 days. After taking the shot, critics like Doshe say the review raises questions because Tamiflu is a key component of government's plan to handle a future flu epidemic. Oh, here's the reason they stocked it. They're stocking it to handle a flu epidemic, a future flu epidemic. Yes. Is this maybe they're guessing, or do they know something that they haven't reported? The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has spent $1.3 billion stockpiling this class of drugs. We need to have evidence, conformed policy decisions, and so that starts with independent reviews of the evidence before you go out and you spend billions of dollars stockpiling these drugs, Dosey said. If you'll turn over to Isaiah 65, Isaiah 65, we won't read it yet, but here's what the world is following right now. Isaiah 65, and look at verse 4. And please, if you don't have a book of Yahweh, please get you one before you come back and bring something to write with. And learn to follow these scriptures, learn to mark them, so when you get at a weak moment and Satan is pulling at your tail to get you off track, then you can go back and you can read these scriptures again and see what Yahweh has told you in advance before it ever takes place. And this comes from the tribes of Israel, the ones who fell away, the ones who rose up against Moshe and said, "You're a dishonor to the house of Yahweh. You need to retire." Yes, that's what they said to Moshe. I'll read it to you in just a little bit. "Who assemble and spend nights keeping memorials to the dead." That's Halloween, by the way. Halloween. This started in Egypt. Pharaohs, every time a Pharaoh died, he was added to the God list. Left out a word there, but I can't. He was supposed to answer prayers after that. He was a burden to the people while he was living, but he's going to answer your prayers after he's dead. Make you feel really, really good. "Dead who eat swine's flesh? A priest, a memorial." Notice, at night, they spend nights keeping memorials for the dead who eat swine's flesh. "And the broth of abominable," that's drugs, by the way, "broth, drugs. Remember where I read to you that it came from? The feces of pigs, the feces of intestines of pigs, or humans, you know. That's the reason they buy body parts, you know, so they can use them. Yes, this is drugs. Look at your reference there, and they show you. The Hebrew books knows this and puts it down for you. The broth, drugs, of abominable things are in their vessels. That's blood vessels. In their blood vessels. Isaiah 66:17 says, these are going to be consumed together. The priest, they follow the priest who eats swine's flesh. They follow after the priest who eats swine's flesh. Yes, the whole world is following Francis at this time. All the world following Francis at this time. And he's begging them to forgive him for the children that have been raped. Here he is. Look at the halo around his head. You see that halo? But this man's got to be righteous. This was a news article that was handed me this morning. Yes, I hope you can see that. Maybe I can zoom in on it a little here. Get you a better look at that halo. Isn't that something? Now that's got to be righteousness, right? No, righteousness is keeping the laws of Yahweh. Okay, they've fallen after this priest who eats swine's flesh. The priest who eats swine's flesh, who teaches that you can eat swine's flesh, who teaches that you can eat rodents. Yes. And the drugs are in their vessels, blood vessels, trying to fight off death to keep you from dying so you can live a little bit longer. Then they get you in the hospital, your heart quits, and they put you on another machine to make it keep pumping the blood, pretending you're still alive. And as long as you can get, you know, got money in the bank, like the lawyers that said, you know, judge, hey, I've got evidence here that shows that this case should be continued. Well, what evidence you got? Well, I found out my client still has $10,000 in the bank. Let's put this man on a machine. I found out that his wife has got a bunch of money left to her by the husband. This is the kind of world that is brought forth with this system that sits on seven hills, brethren. And this is a painting that Yahweh gives us. Yes, all the world is following it. I don't know of any of the world right now that's not following this system. And the broth of abominable things is all in their vessels. They're all attending their doctors and their lawyers, of course, taking care of them. In a strongly worded speech, Pope Francis sought forgiveness from victims of sexual abuse, assuring imposition of harsh penalties. Yeah, that harsh penalty. Listen, you pack your stuff up, we're going to send you over to another parish. That's the harsh penalties that they give them, and they pass them from one to another. On priests who harm children. Strong scandal. Now, here's the reason for it. The reason he's apologizing is the scandal which has damaged the church moral standing. Moral standing? Their moral standing is shown in Revelation 17. Turn with me. Revelation 17. Here's their moral standard that's painted for you in the Holy Scriptures concerning this system of religion, who rule the temple, by the way, as Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, then destroyed the temple in 70 CE, ACE, after the Common Era, destroyed the temple, moved the artifacts to Rome, For anyone who's hearing me and don't know that history, look up Titus or the Ark of Titus, either one, and it will give you the history, will show you the information. Titus was Herod's Roman general. Roman general. who had their armies in Rome, training their armies mostly from captivities, from people they'd taken captive. Trained their armies, the Roman army, and them together with these four religions, Daniel said, would, and it did, pollute the temple with their army. That's Daniel 11:31. Then the artifacts were moved to Rome and hidden there till this day. Yes, they still got them. There's no history that shows they moved them anywhere else anyway. Well, in chapter 17 of Revelations, and there came one of the seven messengers of who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying, that's one of the seven. I did get that because otherwise it becomes confusing later. These are one of the seven works of Yahweh, not a different work. Not a different work, it's one of the seven. You got that? Okay. One of the seven who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying, come and I will show you the sentence of the great whore that sets upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that's God worship, as Genesis 3:5. That's what Satan told Eve. Here, partake of this evil, and you'll be like the gods, knowing both righteousness and evil. Well, of course, the righteousness disappeared. They saw to that. They killed off all the righteousness and all the righteous priests. The kings of the earth and the inhabitants of the earth, that's a whole earth, have been made drunk, that's confusion, with the wine, that's the teaching of her fornication. God worship, teaching of her God worship. So he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of the God worshipers, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. If you look over to verse 18, that woman you saw is a great city that reigns over the kings of the earth. Well, he showed me this woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy. Yes, chapter 13 shows you that this beast that rises up, that Daniel prophesied would be made up of four religions and an army, and became what is called the Holy Roman Empire that ruled the world for a short time. Having seven heads, look down to verse 9 and you'll see what these seven heads are. There's no city that I know of in the world, no city anywhere in the world, that sits on seven hills that rules the kings of the earth. And definitely the Pope rules the kings of the earth by majority. By majority. Well, of course, her majority is diminishing. In Isaiah 65, let's go back there again now. Isaiah 65, and remember the pork. Anyone, even if their mind is half gone, should be able to understand this sermon. Isaiah 65 now, following the priest who eats pork. The priest who eats pork that sits on seven hills. The religion who teaches eating pork. all they could think about when they were giving that news is how this is going to drive up the price of pork. This is going to make pork so high, we won't be able to put the apple in the pig's mouth this Christmas. Isaiah 65. Well, it's speaking of Israel, the land of Israel, and of course the people who rose up against Moshe, rose up against Samuel, also after they came out of the land of Egypt. I am sought by those who did not ask for me. I am found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all day to a rebellious people who walk in a way which is not right after their own thoughts and devices, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face. That is, they strive to provoke Yahweh to anger. Nobody makes Yahweh angry. Who sacrificed in the gardens and burn incense on the altars of brick, who assemble and spend nights keeping memorials, Halloween, to the dead, pharaohs and rabbis, that's what they call their saints, and popes now also is added to the list, who eat swine's flesh. Those who eat swine's flesh. Do you know how many people in the world refuse to eat swine's flesh? Not very many. All the Christians are taught to eat swine's flesh. It's a teaching. It's a God's teaching to eat swine's flesh. In Leviticus 11, you'll find that the swine is unclean. It's unclean, and Yahweh tells you, don't eat swine's flesh. Don't eat it. It's unclean. It will cause confusion to the brain. It will cause sickness to the body. As one toxicologist wrote, people who eat swine's flesh cannot think clearly. It affects their mind, and they have made tests to prove this. It affects their mind about 30-something percent decrease in thought and action. Who assemble and spend nights keeping memorials for the dead, who eat swine's flesh and the drugs of their abominations, that's sickness, abominable things which cause sickness, drugs for their abominable or sickness. Abomination is sickness. Abominable is where you can pass that sickness on to others, as you just saw in this article on pork. And they're dying of this disease, this swine flu, they're calling it. The drugs of, or broth, as they put it in the King James, and we did too, of their abominable, that's sickness that you can pass on, is in their vessels, in their blood vessels. Who say, stand by yourself, do not come by me, I am holier than you. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Pharisees actually separated themselves and they said, hey, let's get to another place because the scripture, the laws are being read here daily in this place. We've got to get to a place where we won't be bugged by this daily reading of the law. So they destroyed the temple, moved the artifacts to Rome. I'm not lying. Every bit of this is in history. Every bit of it is shown in the scripture, the prophecies. That's where I noticed it first and I started hunting. I said, you know, they're the ones that destroyed the temple. The Roman army belonged to them. It didn't belong to someone else. They got their orders straight from the high priest. Look at verse 7. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers. Iniquity is doing away with the law. sins and iniquity, you'll find them mentioned together. One is doing away with the law, the other is breaking the law. Either way is sin, but iniquity is actually doing away with the law, as Daniel 7:25 said the beastly system would do. That's the reason the Pope won't repent. They did away with the laws. And they made their own laws. They created their own form of righteousness to deceive the people. Yes, they don't follow the laws of Yahweh, the righteousness of Yahweh, even though the Savior in Matthew 6:33 said, "Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and the righteousness of Yahweh." They don't do it. Only one that does that is the house of Yahweh. Yahweh tells you where it is. Yes, Yahweh tells you where the house of Yahweh is, where it's going to be in prophecy, where it actually is at this time. Tells you who would establish the house. Gives you his name, where he was born, everything. All of those details. It's not a hidden thing anymore. It was hidden at one time, but it's not hidden now. It's made perfectly clear for the world to see. And Yahweh says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Brethren, we're going to have a wonderful feast. One of our letters was just released yesterday. Nuclear war is coming, but there is a place of safety, says the House of Yahweh newsletter. And it was sent out to the news, and due to the efforts of our enemies, the news media said, is that the character that they arrested and tried to get rid of? Look at what he's writing. This man has got knowledge. They're offering big money now for us to write for them. Yeah, that's the second time. Well, this letter is already printed by 53,126 news agencies. Yes, and they're giving their websites. And they told me this morning when they called me, they said they kept running through NBCs. They just kept on coming. NBCs here and there and everywhere. ABCs the same. CBS is the same. They just kept coming online. They kept strolling them up and seeing them. Big news agencies are anxious to get our letters now from the House of Yahweh and print them. Not only that, but they're putting them on their websites. Yes, they give you the websites here so you can turn and read the whole thing if you want to. NBC News for Ohio. I can't read you all of these. Channel 12, Mississippi, House of Yahweh. Now, here's another one. It's still running. They're still running this article on their website. The House of Yahweh posts new publication that uncovers cause of extreme weather. Now get this. Impressions, 85,469 news medias plugged into this thing and got their websites for all the people to read it. That's the one opposing Babylon. And we're the only ones on earth that's opposing Babylon. But there's no one else out there that's got guts enough to stand up for righteousness. They don't have nerve enough for it. They want to protect their life. Man, some life now is offered to you in the world. And it's going down rapidly. Disease is spreading. The plagues are spreading that I tried to warn the Pope of. And I asked him to repent. Well, he's made two attempts at trying to deceive us, but he's not repenting. If he's repenting, he'd repent of sin. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's law. That's what sin is. For everyone who's coming here for the feast, please set your heart on learning what is taught here at the house. Take it back with you. We have but a short time left now. We're in the last generation, Matthew 24:34. Yahweh and Yahshua plainly tells you when you see these things. One of the things you see in verse 7 is these disease epidemics. They're getting worse. The health departments are saying there's no drugs that will fight them anymore. They're stronger than our drugs. Nothing we have is effective anymore. They're telling you now, when you get the flu, stay home. Their hospital beds are full. We're taking only emergency cases. That's the rich ones, the ones that's got a lot of money. That's the emergency. Yeah, we need that money. We got an emergency for that money. Oh, I hate to be that rough, but that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It's all for money. The money, the love for money is a root of all evil. And that's what you see in this sin-sick world. Yes, that's the reason you see Christmas and Halloween and Easter. And, pretty soon here they're going to have their bunnies laying defective eggs out in the fields, and the people telling their children this big lie, go out here and gather the eggs from these bunnies. Now, what does that have to do with righteousness? Well, that's about as close to the Pope as getting to righteousness right there. Pagan holidays, the worship of gods, memorials to the dead who eat swine's flesh. And then, of course, they use the drugs to try to kill what they put in their stomach. Yes, that's what they're doing. Now that's what they've been doing, and Yahweh says they won't repent. They won't repent of this evil. It's going to go on until 4/5 of the earth's population is wiped out. But they got plans on the wars too, the nuclear wars, to bring them about. And this is what's taking place right now. If you notice the hatred among the nations, that's also shown in Matthew the 24th chapter and verse 7. The hatred among the nations. Look out there. Do you find any friendship? No, you find dollar bills being traded among them. It's nothing but a money-making system that's been set up. The system, of course, gets their 10%. That's the church that sits on seven hills of Rome. That's the only ones that I know of that sits on seven hills. There is no other in the world that sits on seven hills and rules the kings of the earth. Why do you hide it? Why do you turn your face from it? They sit on seven hills and they roam. They rule the kings of the earth. They tell them what to do. Every president goes to see the Pope and gets his instruction from the Pope. They're afraid not to. If they didn't, he can take them out. As Malachi Martin says, they can say what nation stands and what nation falls. They have that power. Yes, the Roman Catholic Church that sits on the seven hills of Rome. NATO is their army. NATO is the Pope's army. How many times have I read that this week? And what NATO is doing and getting ready to do, yes, to bring total rule of the Catholic Church to the Catholic Church in a one-world government. Yes, that's what they have planned. And very shortly now, it's going to be brought into action. So the Pope can't win you with falsehood. He knows that. It's got to be forced like the Roman Catholic Church did before. They ruled the world by force, not by what Yahshua taught. Yahshua taught the will of Yahweh. He taught unity in the righteousness of the laws. Everyone seeing those laws and agreeing in unity to keep those laws. That's the only thing that's ever going to bring peace to this earth. And the house of Yahweh is going, they're teaching it right now, and very soon they will beat their spears into pruning hooks and their whatever else. But they will learn war no more. Now that, of course, is after four-fifths of the earth is wiped out by these nuclear bombs, by sickness and disease, and famine. Famine is coming, yes. Drought, that brings forth famine. And that's what they're crying about in California, but not just in the United States either. This famine is spreading throughout the world. It's spreading because there's no unity with the things that Adam was told to guard and keep. There's no unity with the microorganisms that make up your body, that make up the firmament, that make up the water you drink. H2O. Remember how I told you you could put this stuff in a torch and blow up the building with it? Well, there's a secret how Yahweh made H2O for you to drink. Because it's a very explosive. You pick those two together in a blowtorch, and you can cut a car in two with it. But there's a secret there. And the secret is microorganisms that made it actually healthy for you to drink H2O. H2O is what water is. That's as far as science knows. We know something else. And that makes the difference. What if we kill off these microorganisms that's keeping that from exploding? Yeah. It becomes very dangerous. But those microorganisms is what we're going to have to come into unity with. And once we come into unity with Yahweh, those microorganisms will obey us. Because they know they can trust us. They don't trust the world. In fact, the world is sending things to them right now that is damaging them. It's killing them off, and they know it. These creatures think. Yes, they think. As tiny as they are, they think. They try to protect the firmament that they were made to protect. Yes, for you, for man. But it's only for the men who will, or mankind, who will humbly submit yourself. Find you a job in the house of Yahweh and do that job, brothers and sisters. Be a part of this house. Yes, be a part of building the house of Yahweh. This is the only thing that's eternal. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!